So now we come to the refuge vow, where we take refuge in the three jewels. And so what does actually mean? Actually, all the religions have kind of a jewel or like a source of refuge. And we think that these sources of refuge are external, outside of us. So we speak of the outer three jewels. So there are, first there's the Buddha. There is all the Buddhas of the three times. And the Buddha of this present age is the Buddha Shakyamuni. Second, there is the Dharma, consisting of the three scripture collections. And third, there is the Sangha, which refers to the followers, the practitioners of the Dharma, of the three vehicles, the individual liberation, the Bodhisattvas, and the Vajrayana. So the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, these three, is what we refer to as the outer sources of refuge, the outer three jewels. And so these are the outer three jewels. And now, in order to be actually protected, your real refuge, the Buddha had first said, do not commit any wrong. So how are we actually being protected? What do we need protection from? We want to be protected from suffering. And in order to achieve that, as human beings in this world, we try everything in this life to avoid suffering. We work hard and we try, make the best effort to protect ourselves, to avoid suffering. But still, we often cannot avoid it. Even though we strive after happiness, we still have no choice often but to encounter suffering. For example, there's an earthquake or flooding and so on. So the Buddha had said, if you want to be protected, you need to be protected starting from the causes. You need to create the right cause. So what is the cause of happiness? If you experience happiness now, why is that? It is because you have developed love and compassion in the past. If you have love, then you have the cause for temporary birth in the higher realms. So that is what normal people do not see. They do not create the actual causes for happiness. They are more focused on the results. So they are trying to avoid the results, not the causes. For example, if it is hot, they turn on the air condition. If it's cold, they turn on the heater. But then still, often we have no choice but run into suffering. So we need to protect ourselves from suffering by avoiding the causes. And that means to not accumulate negative karma. Now, for example, not everyone in this world experiences, has the same experience of suffering. For example, even though there are terrible wars in this world, there's many people who have lived through the First, Second, and Third World War and have not encountered any difficulties and are still happy and alive. So they have created a cause for that. And that has protected them temporarily and ultimately. So in a temporary sense, the Buddha said, do not commit any wrong. The cause of happiness temporarily is virtue. So first the Buddha taught the sutra vehicle of causes. And so now next we need to understand what we really need to understand is the inner three jewels, how they are within yourself. Because the inner three jewels, your own mind, is your true refuge. The Buddha himself said, I can show you the methods that lead to liberation, but liberation itself depends on your own practice. So later Rinpoche will say tap, you know, which means this is the method, and this is the method to attain enlightenment, to become free from suffering. And so in response to that, we say lex or excellent. So what's the actual method here? The real method to be protected from suffering is really to cultivate love and compassion. The essence of the Buddha, your inner Buddha, is your own wisdom, your own awareness. And what are sentient beings and what is the method? So wisdom, the essence of wisdom on the ultimate level now is that it is without a duality. There is no self and no other. To sentient beings, there appears a duality of self and other. And that is what creates samsara, all those thoughts of attachment and aversion. So if we want to realize the ultimate truth, the Buddha said, you have to tame your own mind. This is the Buddha's teachings. So primordially, your own mind is actually the Buddha. All beings are actually the Buddha. So their mind is exactly one and the same than with the Buddha. But beings are obscured by temporary stains, the stains of self-grasping and the dualistic grasping itself and other. And we have habituated to this perception since beginningless time in samsara. So we can talk about it extensively, but it really all comes down to one essence, and that is love and compassion, bodhicitta. That's your refuge. That's also explained in the 37 practices. Altruism, that is the Dharma, that is your refuge. And that is the Dharma that the Buddha had taught. So although the Buddha Dharma consists of the three scripture collections, a vast number of teachings, there are 84,000 different types of teachings, but it is said that their essence is only bodhicitta. So the essence of the Buddha is wisdom, the essence of the Dharma is love and compassion. Wisdom is that, for example, today you have a wish to receive the refuge vow. That's your inner wisdom, your awareness, your inner Buddha. Then you think, now I have received the refuge vow. And then you think that now I have to practice, now I have to protect myself by practicing the Dharma. So that consciousness is your actual Buddha. That consciousness understands that I need to cultivate love and compassion. That is my real refuge. So that is your inner Buddha. It is that awareness, that wisdom, that will protect you from suffering by protecting you from your own afflictive emotions, your self-grasping, by cultivating love and compassion. So that is explained all in the refuge card that you will receive. And I newly created this card to clarify the meaning of the inner three jewels. Because many people ask question about the meaning of the three jewels, and it seemed that most people don't really understand the meaning of the inner three jewels. So that's why I created this new card. And basically it says that your inner Buddha is wisdom and your inner Dharma is love and compassion. So the wisdom is the one who wants to take the refuge vow, for example, and your real refuge is love and compassion. That's the Dharma. And so that is basically what you need to accomplish when that is what we mean with practice. It means to develop wisdom and compassion, or your wisdom must never, your awareness must never separate from compassion. That's the practice. The essence of the practice. And love and compassion are like the warmth, the heat that melts the ice block. So again, the heart essence of the Buddha that you take refuge in is your own wisdom mind. And the heart essence of the Dharma that you take refuge in is your own love and compassion. So then also a sign of the three jewels is this logo that we have with the sun and the moon and the hung syllable. That also is a representation of the three jewels. And so that is the hung itself is the Buddha, and the sun represents the Dharma, and the moon the Sangha. So now it is said in the refuge card that I take refuge in the spiritual friend, the heart essence of companions. So in this world, in this life, we have many companions. We have spiritual companions and worldly companions. And for example, in a worldly sense, we have teachers who teach us everything about this life, all the qualities that we need to know. And then we have our spiritual teachers. So among all the companions that we have, our teachers, worldly and spiritual, are the supreme companion. And actually, of the three jewels, who is most precious? Some people say that the Buddha is most precious, and of course the Buddha is precious, but actually more precious than the Buddha is the Dharma, and more precious than the Dharma is the Sangha. And that is because if you have no Sangha who explains the Dharma to you, you can't understand the Dharma, even if it exists. And that's the reason why I feel that the Sangha is really most precious. And then within one Sangha, the three jewels are all complete. And in general, it is said that whoever you receive the refuge vow from, that teacher, becomes most precious, most dear to you. Actually, according to the Nyingma tradition, it is said that the most precious teacher is the one from whom you receive an empowerment. And so we should also think that all the teachers of any religion or lineage in the world, they all are Sangha. And actually, all the teachers, worldly and spiritual, are Sangha. And in the 37 Bodhisattva practices, it is said that you should cherish the spiritual teacher even more dear than your own body. So why is the teacher more precious than your own body? Some people, for example, say, I have no interest in religion. I don't need religion, any dharma. But actually, even in a worldly sense, you do need a teacher. For example, scientists, whatever they know, they have learned from a teacher. They have learned how to improve the world because of the head teachers who taught them, first of all, how to read and write. And then they taught them the specifics about their field, their work, and so on. Or, for example, the fact that you know how to make a phone call is because somebody taught you how to do that. For example, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to make a phone call because nobody actually taught me that. So that's why the teachers, in any kind of teachers, really are most precious. The body is not so precious because you lose the body. It's just like a pile of earth that you will leave behind. But the mind will not die, and therefore whatever good imprint you place into your mind now, like studying whatever you learn, you will bring that with you into future lives. Actually, Sakya Pandita had said that even if you were to die tomorrow, you should learn something today. Because what you learn, the quality that you learn, you bring with you into your future lives. For example, there are some children, even when they're very young, it's very easy for them to learn anything. And that's because in a previous life, they have already learned that. They have the imprint of learning. Or there are some Dharma practitioners who immediately understand whatever you tell them. And that's because they have already practiced in a previous life. So all of these examples actually are signs, in a way, proof the existence of past and future lives. So all the qualities that we learn from our teachers remain within our mind. And therefore, the teachers of both the systems, worldly and spiritual, are very precious. That is why in the card it says, the supreme companion is your spiritual or your virtuous friend. So that is why the teacher is more precious than your own body. Your body will die, but the qualities that you learn from your teacher, you bring with you into your next life. So if you understand that, then you really understand the qualities of a Sangha. And a Sangha also actually embodies the three jewels. The body of the Sangha is the Sangha. The speech is the Dharma. We listen to the teachings of the Buddha, the Dharma, by relying on the Sangha. And the mind of the Sangha is the Buddha. So actually, the Buddha's mind and your teacher's mind and your own mind are a single mental continuum. Primordially, they are one. The difference temporarily is that one has given rise to bodhicitta and the other has not. That is what makes the difference between sentient beings to be tamed and teachers who tame them. So we grasp at a self. But to begin with, our mind is one. Also, Milarepa said that the guru's mind and the Buddha's mind and your own mind is actually one. If you let go of self-grasping, your mind is one with the guru's mind. So that is the ultimate view. So the guru's, the teacher's body is the Sangha, and the speech is the Dharma. The Dharma, in essence, is the twofold truth. Even though the Dharma is vast, it all comes down to the twofold truth. That is the relative truth, which is the infallibility of karma, cause and effect, and the ultimate truth, which is the empty nature of self and other, the indivisibility of self and other. So that is what the teacher shows us with his speech. So although the teachings are vast, they consist of the three scripture collections, they all are subsumed within the twofold truth. So in this way, we need to see our Sangha, our teacher, as the embodiment of all the three jewels of the three times. If you see the teacher in this way, you will be able to develop true faith and respect and trust. It will become stable. So this is how we need to view our Sangha, our spiritual teacher. Some people, they really want to take the refuge vow, and that's really actually a great merit. First of all, there's three levels of vows that we can take, or three levels of the path of individual liberation, of the bodhisattvas and the vajrayana. So taking the refuge vow actually contains the essence of all three levels of vows. So first of all, it contains the essence of the individual liberation vow. In our refuge card, it says, when harm to others and its cause are abandoned, the individual liberation vows are complete. It's called individual liberation because a beginning practitioner first practices the Dharma because first they want to become liberated from suffering. But if you really want to become free from suffering, first of all, you have to give up harming others. The reason why you suffer now is because in the past you have caused harm towards others. So now you should think that I will do my best to not cause any harm towards anyone. And so it says in that verse, when harm to others and its cause are abandoned. So what's the cause here, or that basis? It is the afflictive emotions. That needs to be abandoned. So first a negative emotion arises. Then you act on it. You accumulate karma. So you practice, you engage in this 10 non-virtuous actions and so on. So the mind is most important. So giving up harming others and its cause has to do with the mind. And mostly, whatever we do it with a selfish motive. And whatever we do with a selfish mind actually naturally causes harm towards others. So now you should think, I shall not intentionally cause any harm toward any sentient being. That's the essence of the individual liberation vow. Second, it says, when benefit to others and its cause are accomplished, that is the essence of the bodhisattva vows. So the cause of benefit is the altruistic mind. It's the mind again. So now if you experience happiness, it is because you have helped others in the past. For example, you have been generous to others, and now you are wealthy. So if you want to be happy, then you should benefit others. When the altruistic mind arises in your mind, in your heart, then the bodhisattva vow, the essence of the bodhisattva vow, has really arisen. And then thirdly, it says in the card, when a pure perception towards the universe and sentient beings is accomplished, that is the essence of the tantric vows. So now we have the outer universe and the inner sentient beings. And actually, a person's body and mind are the microcosm of the entire universe and all sentient beings. Because within the mind, within your mind, there are the five afflictive emotions. The body consists of the five elements. And that is the same nature of the entire universe, consists of the five elements, the same mind, the same afflictions. So actually, the entire universe is contained within yourself, within your body and mind. This is actually the view of the Vajrayana. When you purify self-grasping, the dualistic perception of self and other, then the five afflictions ripen into the five wisdoms. We are only obscured by temporary stains, the stain of self-grasping. When you separate from that, all the enlightened qualities arise. The ice block melts into water. We always mention that, so there is no need to explain that again. So a pure perception, that is the essence of the tantric vows. And it means that you understand that all sentient beings have the potential to attain enlightenment. Their very mind is the cause of Buddhahood. Only temporarily they have become like an ice block, temporarily obscured. But in Dzogchen, for example, it says, the mind is originally pure. There's many of you maybe who are interested in Dzogchen practice, so you're familiar with that, this term Gatak, or original purity. So that is the true basis, the ground of your mind. It is completely pure, everyone's mind. So to understand that is the essence of the tantric vows. And so all of that is explained on your refuge card that you will receive later. So some people think that when I take the refuge vow, that will be of benefit for the next life. But that's not true at all. Actually, it is said that if you receive the refuge vow in the morning, it already benefits you in the later in the evening. How does it benefit you? It is because if you understand the meaning of refuge, you're able to, first of all, accept whatever suffering you experience now. Because you know now who has created all your suffering. It's yourself. You have created it with your own afflictive emotions in previous lives. And who has created it? It's your own mind. And this is the one who will create all the suffering in the future. And these afflictive emotions actually continue to create suffering in the future. So now you can put an end to this by understanding this. So in this way, you are able to accept the suffering you experience now, because you also know that you're purifying negative karma. Actually, there are many disciples who have understood that. For example, there was a disciple who had lost all their money, and he even wanted to commit suicide. And then I told that person that, don't think like that. It's just because you have taken something from others in previous lives, that's why now you lose everything. And so then he thought, then it's all good. So then he changed his mind. And actually, there's one good quality that Tibetans have, and that's why they can just stay happy. And there's this one proverb that they always say. And so they say, if things go well, that's the kindness of the three jewels. And if things do not go well, that's my own karma. So they understand that if there is difficulty, that is karma. So then they will just keep their mouths closed, not talk about it, and they won't even think about it, actually. They will just decide, this is just my karma. And if things go well, it's the kindness of the three jewels. What are the jewels? Nothing else but love. They taught you love, and that is why you now experience happiness. And all the suffering that you experience also comes from your negative karma that you accumulated with self-grasping and afflictive emotions. It's all coming back. Whatever you do is coming back to you. So that's the reason why when you receive the refuge vow in the morning, it already benefits you in the evening, because you're able to accept your circumstance and you're able to avoid more suffering in the future by recognizing your own afflictive emotions. And that just that alone actually is an incredible merit. And so then, when the Buddha is the one who taught us that path, the path of the Dharma. So the Buddha is extremely kind. But as we mentioned before, even more than the Buddha, is the Dharma is even more kind than the Buddha. And that is because the teachings are more important. When we see a Buddha statue or form, then that just reminds us of the Buddha. We remember that's the Buddha. But what do we really remember? We remember the teachings on karma, that all suffering comes from selfish karma and so forth. And where is that now? Actually, it's in my own mind. It's still there. And if you are happy, then that's the kindness of love and compassion. So when you recognize all that, you will know how to sustain those causes of happiness. And that's why the refuge vow is so precious. So the Buddha showed us the method. But that's all he did. If you do not hold on to that method, if you do not practice love and compassion, then the Buddha cannot do anything to help you. So actually, you are protecting yourself. You are your own refuge, really. So all you need to do is cultivate love and patience. So next we will repeat the refuge vow, and then you come up for the hair clipping, and then we will again repeat aspiration prayers. If you have already received the refuge vow before, you don't have to come up again, but it's still good to listen to the teachings of the refuge again and again, because many have not understood the meaning of the inner the inner three jewels. So after you have received the hair clipping and the card, then you are free to leave. That's the conclusion then. And we will again repeat the concluding prayers while we do that, because we mentioned yesterday the power of aspiration prayer is great. Prayers are very precious, especially the prayers that we make in the context of taking the refuge vow. So it is said that taking refuge has a temporary and ultimate benefit. And so that is because of love. First of all, because there is love, you practice generosity, morality, and patience. And as a result of that, you achieve the happiness of the three higher realms temporarily. So you will have a good body and resources, longevity, and merit, and so forth. And then through the practices of meditation and wisdom and the power of bodhicitta, you attain ultimate enlightenment. And then all of these practices need to be accompanied by diligence. And so then why is it that our aspirations are accomplished? Once you have taken the refuge vow, you become a sangha. It's like the three jewels are like a country, like the Buddhist country. So when you take refuge, it's like you become a citizen of that country. And along with that, you have all the citizenship rights of that country, the Buddhist country. And what that means is that the purpose of the three jewels is to benefit all sentient beings. And that is the prayer, the aspiration of all the Buddhas of the three times. And for this reason, because that is a powerful aspiration, since you are now a citizen of that country, then whatever aspiration you make will be supported by the Buddhas of the three times. And that is why the prayers that we make are so powerful. If they have the text, then they can also read it together with you. So maybe in that case if you probably don't have the English, then I will just read the English without repeating. Noble One, please grant me your attention. From this time on and for as long as I live, I who am called, and you would say your name, go for refuge in the Buddha, who is supreme among two-legged beings. I go for refuge in the Dharma, which is supreme among those free of attachment. I go for refuge in the Sangha, which is supreme among assemblies. For as long as I live, Noble One, please accept me as a lay adherent to the threefold refuge who observes a few precepts. Master, please grant me your attention. From this time on and until the essence of enlightenment manifests, I who am called, and you would say your name, go for refuge in the Buddha, who is supreme among two-legged beings. I go for refuge in the Dharma, which is supreme among those free of attachment. I go for refuge in the Sangha, which is supreme among assemblies. Until the essence of enlightenment manifests, Master, please accept me as a lay adherent to the threefold refuge who observes one or more of the five precepts. So we just repeated two supplications, and the first one, basically we said, I will not give up bodhicitta until I attain enlightenment. And then the second one was, I will practice virtue with body, speech, and mind until I die. So that could be anything. You could take any vow, one or more. For example, you could take a vow thinking, I am not going to kill an animal, for example, or anyone until I die. So ideally, until you die, or if you can't, you can also take a vow for a year or a month or even just for 24 hours, like the Nyingne vows or so. They have a much benefit. So basically, take however many vows you think you're able to keep. So while we, not a people can come up to take the refuge vow and get the hair clipping, and while you come up, we will also repeat the concluding prayers after this, and we will do that two times in it, Japanese and English, because the prayers are really very important. So you can come, start coming up for the refuge vow. So then I'm just going to read the prayers. We will not repeat them, just read them. Training, emulating all of the conquerors, may I bring excellent conduct to total completion and engage in holy, pure, stainless, ethical conduct that never degenerates and is without fault. In this and every successive lifetime, may I never be separated from the three precious jewels. For the sake of Dharma, may I be unstinting with even my life force and engage the purpose of wayfarers through great determination. May precious Supreme Bodhicitta become manifest where it has not yet arisen. May that which has arisen not degenerate, but ever further increase. In this and every successive lifetime, may I not be separated from the supreme teachings of the unequaled Drikung Ratnasri, and may glorious gurus take me into their care. In all rebirths, may I never be parted from authentic gurus and always enjoy the Dharma's glories. Having fully completed the qualities of the grounds and paths, may I swiftly attain Vajradhara state. In each and every rebirth, may I be of noble lineage, clear-minded, devoid of pride, greatly compassionate, and respectful of the guru. Thus may I observe the Samaya with the glorious guru. Whatever aspiration prayers have been made for the sake of sentient beings, from ever excellent great Vajradharam on down to the kind root guru, may every one of them be swiftly accomplished. Training, emulating all of the conquerors, may I bring excellent conduct to total completion and engage in holy, pure, stainless, ethical conduct that never degenerates and is without fault. In this and every successive lifetime, may I never be separated from the three precious jewels. For the sake of Dharma, may I be unstinting with even my life force and engage the purpose of wayfarers through great determination. May precious Supreme Bodhicitta become manifest where it has not yet arisen. May that which has arisen not degenerate, but ever further increase. In this and every successive lifetime, may I not be separated from the supreme teachings of the unequaled Drikung Ratnasri, and may glorious gurus take me into their care. In all rebirths, may I never be parted from authentic gurus and always enjoy the Dharma's glories. Having fully completed the qualities of the grounds and paths, may I swiftly attain Vajradhara state. In each and every rebirth, may I be of noble lineage, clear-minded, devoid of pride, greatly compassionate, and respectful of the Guru. Thus may I observe the Samaya with the glorious Guru. Whatever aspiration prayers have been made for the sake of wayfaring beings, from ever excellent great Vajradhara on down to the kind root Guru, may every one of them be swiftly accomplished. Going to read the Samantabhadra prayer, but only in Japanese and not in English, because we don't have it in English. So I have it in English, but Dr. Rinpoche said if you don't have it, then there's no need to read it in English. So just Japanese. So, Dharma friends, I'm also very grateful for That you have translated all these prayers into your languages. I'm very happy about that. And then also you have these T-shirts and with the Liberation by Seeing mantra, which is also very, very precious, because this is a way to accumulate great merit naturally just by wearing it. And the mantra, the Liberation by Seeing mantra, is the same as the mantra on that wristband. And whoever sees it, whether it's a sentient being with or without a body, they all purify their negative karma, and you receive the merit. So there's many methods to accumulate merit, and these are very simple ways. Also, it becomes a protection, actually. By wearing this, it protects you. You have received blessing pills and so forth. And all of these are consecrated things. For example, if you have recited mantra, and then when you recite mantra and you blow on something, then it's endowed with blessings, and it really benefits others. And now I have introduced that to you, those various methods, like the wristbands and the T-shirts and Liberation by Seeing and so forth. Anyone can reproduce them. The blessing is exactly the same. Anyone can produce those things. Also, there's these little booklets that you make and so forth. These are all many various methods to accumulate merit naturally. So I'm very grateful to you, Madama friends. So it has been a few times now that I have visited this country. And in general, a Dharma center like this is extremely precious. Because if we wouldn't have a Dharma center, then there would be no place for a teacher to teach the Dharma. And any Dharma center, any tradition, any teacher really are the same in essence. So they are all very precious. So those of you who work for Dharma center and who organize teachings and so forth actually are all Bodhisattva emanations. For example, when the Buddha Shakyamuni was alive, he was the Buddha, and he taught the Dharma to his assembly of bodhisattvas like Chinrizig and Vajrapani and so on, who appeared as his retinue. And it's very similar. There's the Buddha who teaches, and then those who serve and work for the Dharma are like the bodhisattvas. So you're all really very fortunate. So again, what is the Dharma? Is love. If you do not have love, then your mind has lost all basis for happiness and peace. And this is what's happening in this world. It is because love is decreasing more and more in this world, and selfishness is increasing more and more. That is why the elements become disturbed, and there is earthquakes and other natural disasters. When the inner mind is disturbed, that will naturally disturb the outer elements, because the inner and the outer are really connected. The five elements and the afflictive emotions are really connected to each other. And secretly, when the five afflictions mature, they mature into the five wisdoms. So that's the nature of things. That's just how it is. So in an unripe state, we have the five afflictions and the five elements, and when they mature into the five wisdoms. One attains enlightenment. So when all sentient beings are able to create a mind of peace and happiness, then that will naturally have a positive effect on the outer elements, and they will become balanced. So that is what we religious practitioners must do. We must increase love, we must increase patience. And when we do that, that will naturally benefit the entire universe and all sentient beings.